This podcast series is brought to you from the University of Winchester. We invite you to listen in as we talk with both academics and practitioners about their approaches to peace building and conflict transformation, discussing some of the most complex and pressing challenges we face in the world today.
Hello and welcome to this podcast. I am Dr. Maybrit Lyk-Bogen from the Winchester Center of Religion, Reconciliation and Peace. And today I'm here with Dr. Juanma Robles, who has a PhD in Peace Studies and who currently works for the University of Leeds. Thank you so much for joining us. Juanma, can you first tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Hello, Maybrit. Good afternoon. I'm very delighted to be here with you this afternoon. Originally, I'm from Spain, but I came to England 11 years ago now, and I came to do my research in the Peace Department of Bradford University, although my home university is in Spain, in a town called Castellón, a city called Castellón. And we are part of something that is called UNESCO Chair of Philosophy for Peace, and we had an agreement with Bradford Peace Department. So I came here originally for 5 months, but 11 years later, I'm still here because, I joined an NGO here in Bradford, a local NGO, helping with international students and with other people that came from abroad. And then I completed my PhD here. And then I met my wife here. So I'm living here now. So right now, I've been 2 years in the University of Leeds. I'm part of the chaplaincy. I also work as a guest lecturer. I've been doing some teaching for students of medicine about the psychology of forgiveness, and also for the staff and students about the psychology of forgiveness, because my BA is in psychology and my research in forgiveness, I put a lot of research in the area of psychology too, apart from peace studies. So I'm also part of a research group we are creating in Barcelona is part of the University, International University of Catalonia. And I'm going to be leading the area of forgiveness and reconciliation there. And we have other areas like history of peace and human rights. So I'll be leading the area of forgiveness and reconciliation myself. Yeah. Just to start with forgiveness and peace. It's very appealing for me because, as I told you, I'm a psychologist myself by training, and I'm in love with peace studies and conflict studies for many years now. That was my PhD thesis. And just to say that traditionally we understood peace as the absence of war, but in peace studies, we like to define peace in a positive way. As I'm sure you're aware of that is a presence of inner well-being and social justice too. So it's something that starts within ourselves and then is extending to the society.
Why is forgiveness important?
Something that many people don't grasp is that forgiveness is something that can empower victims. And I think that's a key issue in peace studies. So when someone has been a victim of a moral wrong, can be something physical or psychological, when the victim is able to forgive, by doing that, the victim is breaking the chains that attach that victim to the offender in their hearts and in their minds. So forgiveness empowers the victim, actually, by releasing the victim of that constant connection with the offender. So those who are able to forgive, in some ways, we can say they are freedom fighters. They're fighting for their own freedom to break the chains that connects them to the offenders.
And how does this connect to peace studies?
Yeah, so where I come from, in my UNESCO Chair of Philosophy for Peace in Spain, we say that we, the peacemakers, we are the realists. So we are aware that we can hurt each other, we can damage each other, we acknowledge that, but in the same way that we can inflict pain in other people, we know that we can learn also to care and to look after each other. Forgiveness is part of that too, it's part of those positive ways of dealing with violence. we acknowledge that violence is not a human fatality. And I like to say that although human conflicts are inevitable, it depends on us if we deal with them violently or peacefully. It's up to us the way we deal with conflict. And sadly, we are part of a culture that traditionally has been a culture of violence. And as the psychologist Abraham Maslow used to say, if the only tool you have is a hammer, you tend to see every problem as a nail. So this culture of violence that most of us are part of gave humankind only tools for harming. But now we need to develop these tools for caring for each other as such a tenderness and forgiveness if we really want to promote a culture of peace. Because in the same way that we have learned to hurt each other, we can learn to forgive and reconcile if we want. Again, we need to, it's very important to make the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. It's not the same. Forgiveness is something personal that happens inside your skin. And reconciliation is something between two people or two groups. For forgiveness, I can decide forgiving someone independently of what the other person say or think or do. But for reconciliation, we need two wills to come together and to recover trust. So it's not the same. During the years, I've been collecting some quotes about forgiveness. I had here some beautiful quotes, just to mention two or three of them. This is from a French poet, Gérard Bessurier. He says, "Those who forgive are the healers of humanity. The event that could have been the cause of an increasing brutality in the world helps the growing of love. They heal the wound that disfigured the face of humanity since its origins, that is violence." Or another a French philosopher, is called Edgar Morin. He says, "Forgiveness is a resistance to the cruelty of the world."
So you describe forgiveness very positively so far. Are there any pitfalls as well?
We want to be realistic people. And we are also aware that there are dangers on the path of forgiveness. Like, for example, the two main dangers would be like self-absorption. If I hit my thumb with a hammer, my thumb instantly becomes the whole of my experiential world. In similar fashion, when we have been rejected or betrayed by someone, the transgression another has committed against us can dominate our thoughts, feelings, and life. And dwelling constantly on our victimhood can result in self-absorption. Another risk of forgiving is that we will be perceived by others and perhaps even ourselves as having become a doormat on which others may trample. So we need to be aware of these things. And that's why I will never dare to say to a victim, "You must forgive." Forgiveness is always a recommendation, but it's not a must. It's not something that you must do. At the end of the day, it's only the victim, the one that has the right to decide if they want to forgive or not. Although we recommend it because it's something good for the victim, psychological health and even physical health. There are many studies that show that. But we cannot impose and say you must forgive. Because if the victim is not ready to forgive yet, it's like we are victimizing her a second time. She may feel guilty that she's not able to forgive when she should forgive. So we cannot force anyone to forgive until that person is not ready.
So are you arguing that all acts can be forgiven? Or should be forgiven?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And many philosophers and psychologists during the last decades, they've been discussing about that. And I would say there is not a clear answer about that. we use a paradigmatic example in peace studies by this man who was in a concentration camp. He was taken to the presence of a young Nazi soldier that was about to die. And he asked him for forgiveness. But he said he was unable to forgive this person. He just remained silent. And then he asked, "Did I do right by remaining silent, by not forgiving this young Nazi?" And different psychologists, philosophers, they give different opinions about this. But I will say you are still experiencing pain and oppression, and the moral groan is still happening in your life. It's impossible for you to forgive at that point. I think you need to be detached from that situation, and you need a bit of time in order to be able to offer forgiveness, because forgiveness can be offered only from a position of freedom. And that person at that point was not free. He wasn't free. He was in a concentration camp. So what he was being asked at that point was something impossible for him, to be honest, at that point. Then we have people like the philosopher Jacques Derrida. Forgiveness only happens when something is really unforgivable. Because he said that real forgiveness is only when we are before something that is unforgivable, that nothing else except forgiveness can deal with that. And that at that point, forgiveness makes sense. That's what this French philosopher will say. So from my point of view, as I said before, I don't think we can force victims to forgive anything, smaller or bigger. But as a psychologist, I will recommend forgiveness for the victim, first of all, for her own sake, for her own psychological health, and to be able to break that chain that attached the person to that pain. Because every time the experience of the past that was painful is remembered, the pain is brought to the present again, and only by forgiveness we can detach ourselves from that pain. So psychologists, we say that we know we have forgiven when I'm able to remember the past experience that caused me pain, and I don't feel that pain anymore. So I'm aware that that experience has been already integrated into my narrative as a human being, into my history, and doesn't damage me. I don't feel pain anymore. So for the victim, it's something good. Although, as I said like two or three times already, I wouldn't dare to force anyone to forgive if it's their own decision. We also say that forgiveness is... So in that sense, forgiveness will be prudential for the victim. It's something prudent for her own psychological health. But we also said that forgiveness is pragmatic, and that has to do with human relation. Human relations are fragile. We hurt, and we are hurt by others easily. So sooner or later, all of us will need forgiveness. So it's a pragmatic thing in human relations. And again, the philosopher Hannah Arendt, she wrote that without being forgiven, released from the consequences of what we have done, our capacity to act will, as it were, be confined to one single deed from which we could never recover. If there is no forgiveness in the world, as Bishop Desmond Tutu said, there is no future. We will be condemned to remain always in something that is grown and we couldn't move from there. So forgiveness is creative, help us to live creative lives, to go forward. If we live unforgiveness life, we remain all the time in the consequences of the moral groan or the violence that we have experienced. So forgiveness is pragmatic. And then something I like to say also about forgiveness is that in philosophy, just going back to Kant, more than 200 years ago, Kant will say that offenses do not exhaust the value of the offenders, since human value will be inexhaustible. There is a human dignity that, regardless what a person does, that human dignity remains there. So forgiveness is like giving a second chance to a person that has done something morally wrong. And in that sense, it's something ethically adequate, because it's like providing a new opportunity to the moral grown, to the person that did the grown deed. So it's like saying you are a person that, and this grown act that you did in the past, that you are not only that, you are more than that. You can change, you can detach yourself from that, and you can keep going in your life. So it's something ethically adequate, yeah, because we are aware that there is room for moral transformation.
So how is forgiveness different from other concepts then?
That forgiveness is not forgetting, Because when a person is hurt by another person, having some time to forgive is helpful. But if a victim lives a very long time since they received the offense until they offer forgiveness, maybe they are forgetting rather than forgiven. So as French philosopher Jean Kelevich pointed out in his book, Le Pardon. So in other words, through the action of forgiveness, the past offense is not forgotten, but is remembered forgiven. So I'm able to remember offense that was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, but I'm able to remember forgiven. So it's not about forgetting. Forgiveness is not excusing. So when forgiveness is because there is at least a part offense that is inexcusable, that which doesn't mean that it's unforgivable. Forgiveness is not obligatory, as I said a few times already. Most philosophers will say that forgiveness is not a moral obligation, but a moral virtue. That means each victim should decide freely if they want to forgive the offender or not. Yeah, much philosophers will say that it's a virtue, but not an obligation. Renouncing justice. This is one of the biggest problems for forgiveness when we are trying to apply forgiveness. That what about justice? And I think in this case, it's important to make of justice. We got the traditional justice that would be like punitive justice. Forgiveness goes well with the restorative justice issue, but not with the punitive justice. So punitive justice, the traditional way of justice, is focused on the wrongdoer. It's like about inflicting some harm on the wrongdoer. But restorative justice is more focused on the victim, in trying to restore the victim, the dignity of the victim, and the victim as a person, becoming a survivor. By applying forgiveness, by using forgiveness, can be restored, can become a survivor. And then restorative justice, makes more sense when we are talking about forgiveness. Yeah. But it's not that we are renouncing to justice, it's that we are putting our focus on the victim rather than on the wrongdoer. And then finally, sometimes you can hear many people asking, so I want to do that, but I don't know how to do it. I still feel resentment for that thing that happened in the past. So again, in psychology, we make an important difference. Forgiveness can be a personal decision, and then eventually it may become an emotional thing within us. So we are not so much in control of our emotions sometimes, but we can decide how we react to a moral in the face of a moral offense. So what I mean by that is that, for example, if someone hurts me saying something that I didn't like, I may resent that action. I may resent the person. For example, with my couple, let's take it down to the world of the couples. And I want to get rid of that resentment. I can say, okay, I forgive you. I can decide to forgive the person, my partner. And that means that although I may still experience some resentment in my heart, that offense from the past, that I'm not going to use it against my partner. So I may ask again what my partner did against me in the past, now in the present. So do you know what I mean? So it's like I decide to forgive you, so I'm not gonna use what you did that was wrong against you today, although I still feel a bit of resentment in my heart. So there is this decisional forgiveness and this emotional forgiveness. And Professor Everett Worthington, he has done a lot of research about this, and he's the one that written books and articles about this. And he speaks also from a personal experience because his mother was a murderer, and he had to deal himself about if he was able to forgive. That was really hard for him. And then also he had to deal with self-forgiveness. That's another aspect of forgiveness. Sometimes we struggle to forgive ourselves of something that we have done was wrong. And he explains how his brother was really struggling with different issues. And eventually his brother committed suicide. and he wanted to help his brother as a trained psychologist. And it took a bit of time for him to be able to forgive himself that he was unable to help his brother when he was going through difficult issues. So it's a very interesting person to look if you are interested in it.
To what degree does it really make sense, both in terms of philosophy and theory, to talk about forgiveness as a kind of concept that can be applied to any deed? You know, because on one hand, you're talking about forgiving your partner for saying something that hurt you. And on the other hand, we're talking about in forgiveness in terms of forgiving someone who killed your family in a violent conflict, for example, or who burned down your house, or who, you know, committed horrendous crimes against either yourself or your family. So to what degree does it really make sense to have one kind of concept that tries to encompass so many different situations?
Yeah. Obviously, a small argument you may have with your partner, obviously not the same. So we'll say there are different degrees of forgiveness, but in everything, when you are to get better into ability, and forgiveness is something that we can learn and we can get better into that. You wouldn't start with the top one, you wouldn't start with something very, very easy that actually doesn't hurt you anymore. So when we do workshops about this, we ask the people to think about something of intermediate level of that produce anger or resentment in their hearts. And to start with that, so they need to wrestle with that for a while. And there are different prescriptive models of psychology about like 5 steps, 20 steps. And forgiveness, although it's not something mathematic, is 1, 2, or 3. Sometimes you go through that process and you need to come back. Sometimes it's 2 steps forward, 1 step backward. But we encourage people to start with like middle level issues to grow in their ability to forgive.
Okay, I've got one final question. This is really interesting. What do you think the role of religion is in all of this?
I think religion is quite important, actually. There are several studies that show that religious people, regardless of their own religion, they give a good value to the capacity of forgiveness. So I just had here something. For example, Muslims contemplating how Islam is a religion of submission to God can involve repairing damaged relationships. They might grant forgiveness when valued relationships have been ripped from their grasp. Then in Judaism, we have Jews experience God's forgiveness on the Day of Atonement. So it's something positive. In Christianity, Christianity puts a lot of emphasis in forgiveness. We are aware of that. Then in Buddhism, for example, there is emphasis on compassion to replace hatred with loving kindness, what can lead to emotional forgiveness. And then within Hinduism, a sense of karma and dharma can converge. People are moved to do good by forgiving, leading to just rewards in the present and in the future lives and relationships. And even for those who embrace non-religious spirituality, forgiveness can flow from being attuned to the nature or to others.
Thank you so much. This has been really interesting and thought-provoking. So thank you so much for taking part today.
Thank you. Thanks for welcoming me.